Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Disney lovers.
Hello.
Ah, welcome.
Welcome back
to another one of our wonderful panel discussions. And today, she's going to get intense.
It's a good one. Brace yourself, people.
Brace yourself.
I'm passionate about this. A lot of people are.
I'm ready. Whew. I'm ready. Look, this, I mean, we're a little bit out of the loop. This did happen a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about today the Facebook rant that one mother posted in regards to millennials at Disneyland. Mm.
Yes.
This is Disney World. My apologies.
Yes, please get it right.
But look, we're going to discuss
all of
this post and all of it.
There's a lot to break down. There's a lot.
So we've had a bit of a chat and we've kind of broken it down into a few different little sections.
Yes.
So we're going to read you the rant. You may or may not have heard it.
There's been a lot surrounding it. Even if you haven't read the actual initial post, you might have seen a fair bit of the outrage.
Yeah. So we're going to read the rant. Ooh,
in all its glory.
And we're going to have a chat about what is a millennial. Why does everyone hate millennials?
Where's it coming from?
Where is this coming from? This violence. It is violence,
it is, my friend. It is verbal violence.
She is violence. We're going to have a chat about the Walt's original Disney vision.
Yeah, so
the
he wanted Disney World to be.
Disneyland, Disney World, all the parks.
Yeah,
what did he originally want from those? And then we're going to have a chat about, we're going to break down the rant, we're going to piece through it, and we're going to actually discuss our opinions on it, what we think,
what she thinks the problem is not a problem.
I am going to say right off the bat that this is not about bashing the person who made the original post.
No,
that's because for one, she is a mother, and she does, you'll hear in a minute, I think she is just at her wit's end.
She's had a day.
I think this is misdirected anger and frustration. But these opinions, I mean, about millennials are out there. So it is not about her specifically. And we're not going to bother to name it because it's not
actually about her. Yeah.
So, yeah, don't hate on her.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of both sides of the camp come forth after this as well.
So, look, we are.
So we're looking at both sides.
Well, look.
We've definitely got a side.
We're definitely a bit biased. We will say
as
that.
Childless millennials ourselves. We'll get into that later.
But yeah. I mean, there's plenty of representation on both sides and we will talk through the issue. So without any further ado, I'm just going to read
Read it.
Go this for rant. It. Now, there is quite a lot of language in there. I am going to censor it because, you know, I understand.
Also, I'd like to just, before you start, make sure the capitals are capitalized in your tone of voice.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot of capitals that are very specifically.
I wasn't ready for that. Let me
capitalize. Do your vocal warm-ups.
All right. Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's go. I'm just preparing myself.
Got to get into the mindset of it.
It's a lot of just like run-on sentences. There's not a lot of full stops and stuff. So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
It pisses me off to no end! Exclamation marks. When I see childless couples without at Disney World. Okay.
Multiple angry faces. Okay. I'll read the emojis.
Childless couples without at Disney World. We get. Okay. Without children, she's meaning, obviously. DW, so Disney World, is a family amusement park. Yet these immature millennials throw away their money on useless crap. They have no idea the joy and happiness it is to mothers who buy their babies treats and toys. They will never experience the exhaustion that it is to chase a three-year-old around and getting stares at assuming I'm a bad mother. This sea in some very slutty shorts, was buying a Mickey pretzel, and Aiden wanted one, but the line was very long, so I said later, and it broke his little heart, and he cried, "I wanted to take that effing pretzel from that tramp, like, thanks, bitch, you made my son cry."
Multiple angry emojis again.
Disney World is for children. People without children need to be banned. Mothers and children should be allowed to skip all the line. You have no effing idea what it is like to have to stand in line for 3 hours with a cranky, tired, exhausted toddler. And I can't just tell him that we can't do something because it's his vacation too. I effing hate childless women with a burning passion.
Several angry emojis. Actually, I'm going to count how many there are. 12 angry emoji
11,
face.
12.
11. I'm angry still emoji. Counting when I said it. counting's mental math is not my strong suit. Anyway, that's a lot of angry, red, sad faces.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's it. That's the rant. And it's intense. Quite a rant.
And we're going to...
There's many parts.
I do want to break down and respond to each part in a minute. Yes. But I think we need to set up a few things before we do that. So...
Look, first of all,
what is a millennial?
What is a millennial? It's not a millennium. Very different things. not to be confused.
Now, you and I are both millennials.
Yes, we do both heavily fall into that category. Yes. We're right in like peak millennial time as well.
So millennials is anyone born from 1981 to 1996.
So of 22 to 37 years of age currently.
Currently, yes.
There is a post-millennial, which is kind of after that. Which often they kind of get so lumped firstly, together. But that's the peak millennial period.
And I do feel there's a lot of misdirected stuff at like just a blanket. Like millennials has become a blanket term for anyone born
in that
from 81 onwards, which is not correct. So no, like current teenagers get lumped in with millennials, which is just not accurate.
Well, it's just they haven't got a better name for them yet.
And they're just when like, they come with something,
the youths. See, that's what I feel like people are really saying when they're saying, oh, millennials.
Yes. So it's all the way up to 37, which is not young.
Not young. I mean
they're proper, fully formed adults.
Actual adults.
In the world contributing.
Millennials is an adult age bracket.
Yes.
Even at 22, you're a legal adult.
Yes. So you'd be...
Even in America. Well, because America's 21 is like legal age for stuff. So even American standards, adult standard.
Okay. So that is the technical definition for a millennial.
Mm.
And as we've already discussed, millennials are getting a lot of hate.
They're getting a lot of a bad rap at the moment.
and I was talking about this earlier, and I think part of this is... We do live in the modern age of technology.
Yeah.
We have social media. And I do think that every generation hates on the generation following it. I think it just does. I think that's just what
just
happens.
Just by natural
order. But because we have the internet, because we have so many different ways to communicate and dispel information, I think that it seems like there's more hate for millennials.
It's easier to
than
see
there has
the
been
hate
previously.
As well.
Just because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, radio, TV, newspaper, that was your really main form of communication. And if you back before the internet, and if you didn't want to listen to something,
you just didn't.
Just avoid those things.
Now,
done.
It's pretty much, it's part of your life. Like it's hard to avoid it. You got to put more effort into avoiding the
exactly.
hate.
Exactly. Scrolling through any social media platform, I reckon at least once a week, if not more, I will come across a millennials have ruined that.
Buying houses with their smashed avo,
exactly.
It all gets lumped into one category, which is a thing.
So
onto
we get
itself.
This whole thing about millennials are privileged and cocky and entitled and lazy and impatient, and we've ruined this and we've ruined that,
ruining everything.
Bad rep, and I think that's for a variety of reasons. Mm. I think part of that is always a generation looking at the next one and judging, and I do think. That's happened a lot. Forgive me. Those bits of information, like who said that? But I remember reading, they had these quotes and they talked about like the slate, how you do chalk and a slate at school.
Oh, yeah,
and
someone was like, chalkboard.
Oh. Yeah, and they're like, oh, it's going to make the children lazy that they've got this newfangled technology and
Every new advance, that'll make it lazier. Like when we had laptops, everyone's like, oh, That'll make kids lazier. Oh, now everyone does it on their phone. Oh, yeah. They're useless. So
I think part of this is, and as someone who's now in their 30s, I do find a little bit of this where you kind of look at the future, look at these kids, they've got their whole lives ahead of them.
Yeah.
And there is that little bit of like, oh, if only.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about on here that we both love musicals, musical theatre. And I often have that thought about like, oh, if I – because I grew up in the central Queensland and I thought, oh, if I grew up in Brisbane and I had more of these theatre opportunities, would I have been pursuing that more so?
If you had acting? Those privileges, if you had that resource.
If I had those connections at that age, you know, would I be actually working in that industry now rather than – the pathway I took. Am I unhappy with the pathway I've taken? Not necessarily, but you do kind of look at these young people now, and that I think it's that passion and that the whole world is new and is out there and is achievable. I think sometimes when you're an adult and the pragmatic aspects of life take over, that you're like something in you wants to quash that.
Yeah.
That hope and dreams. Mm. That sounds terrible. But
it does. It doesn't sound great. And but I get it. I get it. I get it. Yes.
So I think part of that plays into this whole millennial hate.
And just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yes, it definitely is a bit of that. This obviously is then focusing on the lack of the children. Like, there's been a lot about, millennials are just going to go do what they want.
It's two very separate issues here, isn't it? Because there's millennials and then there's childless millennials particularly.
Yeah.
So I think I want to talk more about the childless stuff a little bit later. But yeah, I think the millennials hate, and this whole like they're lazy and they just jump around and they get bored and they do what they want. And, I mean, that's partly true. I mean, I've had two professional careers in my life. So far, but you know, we're both universally
university
trained. That's what I was going to go for. I mean, we both did a degree in science.
Yep.
Certainly different branches of science, but and we both did a education degree. I mean, we're very highly educated people.
Universally.
Shut up.
But
I do think there is this whole attitude that we as millennials are flighty and jump around.
And lazy and entitled. Yeah. I think entitled is one of the big things that people have an issue with.
Big thing. That whole like, given trophies for everything.
Yeah, but it's participation, like, ribbons and whatnot.
But we didn't give ourselves those trophies.
Also, I don't think.
Who was doing that? That would be
we're looking at you, older generation. I'm looking at you, baby boomers. I don't want to drop them names, but.
And look. I think there's a lot. I've talked a lot about the changing influences over time and the pressures that are on kids now. And again, social media's got a lot to do with that. And I think the world is different now, and the world is changing. And because of technology, it is changing very rapidly.
Yeah.
And I think that's
quicker than in previous decades.
Definitely. Like, and I think keeping up with that is harder. And for us who have grown up in a world that has changed very quickly, it's easier for us to adapt.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started my professional career as a psychologist, I went to a state department, and it was the first – there was this huge big change that was happening, and this was the most – so I worked in the disability sector, and this was the most instrumental, influential, wide, like massive change – and the biggest change that happened since the deinstitutionalization in like the 90s. So even earlier, I think, than the 90s. So a lot of people were trying to cope with that. Me, just fresh out of uni, I was like,
I'll just do it.
I don't have any experience of any other way. Like my this world is new.
Yeah.
And pretty much in every job I've gone to, there's been some sort of restructuring and change that has been the biggest change since ever. And I'm like, that's
great.
My life. Nothing ever stays the same.
Thanks, guys.
Everything's changing all the time. So that's typical in my professional career. But for many of the incredible clinicians that I worked with who were amazing and were very adaptable and flexible, but for them it was much more difficult, I think, in the initial stages because they had been static for such a long period of time. So I think we are used to this adaptability and swapping around and changing, and I think that could be perhaps intimidating to people who have traditionally gone to one career and stayed in that career and done all of that. Yeah. And looking at these younger people who've got everything ahead of them, you know, frustrating.
I think, I mean, the millennial age bracket, when you actually look at it, like 37, like it'd be interesting to know how old this mother is, whether she is actually a millennial.
Yeah.
Because she's a 3-year-old child. I don't know.
Who has a social media presence.
Who has a social media presence. Who uses emojis. I'm just saying.
I would say she's probably actually a millennial.
That's assumptions.
Herself.
That's pure assumptions. But I would say she's actually a millennial.
And I think that's why she is saying childless millennials.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing too.
So I think that's more her issue. It's not the millennial generation. I think her issue is with the people without children.
But I think too, when we continually provided with a message, we internalize that message. So even if you're part of the millennial group,
yeah, you look
still
at the
internalize
hate.
These messages that are said about you, and which is really interesting. I think that's really interesting.
Well, shall we get into the first part of the rant?
Yeah, let's do
shall
that.
We
oh,
get
do
into
we want
it?
To talk about Walt, or do we just want to talk about the rant itself?
Let's do the rant and then
let's
we'll bring it back to Walt. We'll
yeah,
end
do that.
With
let's
Walt, I think.
I like it. I like
let's
it.
Let's do it.
So let's break it down.
So, I mean, her first statement is the childless couples.
Yes.
At Disneyland. That is her biggest issue.
Well, she starts off with
well,
that.
She starts
it?
With that. So her first issue is that there's childless couples there and Disney World is meant to be a family amusement park.
Yes.
Now, you can be a family and not have a child.
What?
Like, I mean, I get the like, oh, children, yes. And obviously Disney is aimed at children, but also to a degree it is not.
Well, Walt developed it because he had nowhere to take his kids.
Yeah.
That he would enjoy as well. And he's like, man, there needs to be a place where
they can,
you can
everyone
take
can go.
And then the adults would also really enjoy themselves as well.
And I think, you know, the parks specifically have stuff for everyone. And that's why they're huge.
Yes.
And that's why there's so much range to them.
And I think this next point that she goes on to about these immature millennials throw away their money on useless crap.
Look, I... Yes, I agree with that as a statement. I won't lie. When I go to Disney, I spend a lot of money on stuff I probably don't need. But does it bring me joy? Yes.
I think it's interesting because there was a response. There was actually an article written in response in the New York Post.
There's been several articles in response.
Johnny Olesinski. That's a name.
That's a name. All right.
Anyway, I'm not going to spend any more time on his name. But he... essentially agreed and was like, these children have, oh, I'm going to read you this. So the usual complaint about these born between 1981 and 1996 remaining constant 12-year-olds is that the behavior amounts to self-infantization and a lifelong immaturity that bleeds into basic decision-making, getting jobs, paying bills, staying alive. But another oft ignored problem with letting a kid's brand control your adult life is the stupidity and cultural ignorance it leads to. You're scripting great films such as Booksmart and The Farewell to relive second grade. And your annual or more, God help us, trip to Disney World costs as much and in some cases than a trip to Europe, South America or Canada where you can meet people different from yourself. People for whom the only color of the wind is see-through. Funny packless people. This guy, he goes on this
huge I've read excerpts of it.
Rant about how these immature people just want to be stuck in the past and they don't want to grow up.
And they want to live in this imaginary world rather than the real world.
He ends it with, oh, who am I kidding? You'll skip the Louvre and go straight to Disneyland Paris. I mean, this guy
has clearly got some strong emotions.
This guy.
I think, yes, and I don't disagree that you should be out there experiencing the world. I don't disagree that there's a lot of other important things to life as well as Disney.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means you can't also love Disney and sometimes escape and just have fun
are those
relive
things
that
mutually
magic.
Exclusive?
That's what I mean.
If you enjoy Disney, does that mean you never do anything else?
No, you can't enjoy art if you like Disney. No, they're mutually no, you cannot.
Cannot.
It's banned. Because we couldn't have possibly have gone to museums as well as Disneyland when we go to Europe.
No.
Like, no. It's forbidden. You have to pick one and stick with it.
And I think part of this, and I know there's a lot of, I mean, there was recent, the protests in Brisbane recently about the environment.
Climate strike, is that what you're talking about?
But the fact that we have these young people who are angry about what's happening to our planet, happening to our environment, that the older generation who are in power as politicians and making laws are not taking enough action on these issues. Mm. And I think we have this vicious cycle where we've got these people who have come before us and stuff's happening, and rather than taking responsibility, they're blaming the younger generation for being upstarts and not knowing what they're talking about and all the rest of it, rather than taking responsibility for, you know, the choices that they've made. And I think this is this whole, they throw their money on useless crap. Okay, well, one, if they are childless, well, yes, you do have a bit more money.
Because you don't have to pay for your child.
And I'm sure there's plenty of useless crap that parents buy for their children.
How is a childless person buying Disney merchandise different to an adult buying it for their kid when they're 3 years old and won't even actually understand what it is?
Yep. Or
like
break it.
It's, you're still buying, the useless crap.
And at the end of the day, it's not, these are the same people who'd be like, oh, these millennials are just getting high and getting drunk and wasting all their money on, you know, this kind of stuff.
Well, I feel like some Disney merch is better than drugs. I mean, just
and I think
controversially.
The other thing too is this whole war on escaping.
Yeah.
Is it a bad thing to occasionally escape the reality of your world, which is not a great place all the
time? There's a lot of stuff going
down.
And
go and relieve things that made you happy from your childhood.
And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, if you permanently,
constantly in this escapism and it's having significant impacts on your life because you're avoiding.
If you can't pay your rent because you're going to Disneyland, then yes, that's an issue.
That's a problem. However, you're just occasionally going, it's something you look forward to. It makes you feel happier. It helps you cope with the stresses of your life.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And I mean, the other interesting thing about this in terms of like, oh, it's a family amusement park or whatever. Like, I went on a family trip to Disney with my family as a older, I'm trying to remember how old I was now, you know, several years ago, but we were definitely adults, but we had an amazing family time. Like, it was still about a family trip.
Yes.
And how is that different to a younger family? Like, I don't understand how.
No.
Being an older family unit degrades it.
I mean, as a kid, my dream was always to go to Disneyland. Yeah. That was a dream. I loved Disney, always wanted to go. But I understood that as a family unit, we didn't have enough money to go there.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly expensive trip. I knew that we weren't able to afford it.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I went, that's something I'm going to have to do as an adult. Yeah. When I have my own money and I can save up and I can just take me and a friend or me or my, you know, partner or whatever, we can go and enjoy that together as an adult. And that's what the first opportunity I actually ever had to go to Disney, a Disney park, was when my husband and I went to Europe just after we got married. And we went to Paris. And in the end, we decided not to go because we went, I haven't been to any other parks. I don't know if I want to make that the first one.
Yeah.
It's really expensive. And we were like 23. So we didn't have a huge amount of expendable income at that time. So we went, no, I think we'd rather do some other things. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
And we did later go to Euro Disney.
Yeah.
And in fact, I went with you.
Yeah. And it was just the greatest.
Recently. And it was amazing.
And it was, we had an amazing day.
We did.
It was so much fun.
It was great. And the first park I ended up going to was Disney Sea.
Yes.
In
Well, Disney Sea is a different kettle of fish because it was specifically designed for adults.
Yes.
As an adult park.
And it.
That was the intention behind making Disney Sea separate to Tokyo Disney.
Yes. And it definitely was more enjoyable as an adult.
Yes.
That park than the Disney, Tokyo Disneyland.
Disney Sea is like, it's got that detail. And I mean, like they talked about art, going to visit an art museum or whatever, but I think there's beautiful art to what Disney does. Oh,
incredible.
Like, it's like you walk through and you're like, I am in Venice. Like, what is this?
Yeah, there were parts where I'm like, I've just gone from one land to another. And it was that sense of wonder.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that that was my very first experience of Disney, because that's, although I like, I went to Disneyland the next day and I had fun, but I didn't quite enjoy it as much. But when we went to Euro Disney, I think it, well, I was going with you anyway, so that was always going to like...
It was always going to be a fun adventure, you know.
And my husband. My husband was there as well.
He was there as well. He was an important contribution to the team.
I think that wonder and excitement and that remembering those childhood memories, it just made that experience really, really fun. It wasn't the only thing we did. We went to heaps of museums and heaps of art galleries and we did...
Versailles the next day.
We did lots of really incredible cultural things. But I don't think that Euro Disney was any less of a cultural experience either.
Exactly.
And I mean, the artworks created of that day. I mean, look at Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Who when he was alive, everyone laughed at him. And he was
scorned. And
he only sold one painting to his brother. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was at least family member. It was but like it was someone related. The family
who was like, oh, all right,
I'll buy it. Thanks, Vincent.
You need to eat. I'll buy this. so, you know, of their day, scorned, and now is recognized as one of the most influential and famous artists of all time. Now, certainly Disneyland is something in lived memory. Having been created, but I don't think that makes it any less culturally significant. And the whole park, his idea of a park was very, very different to the theme parks of that time.
And it's the Disney parks are, and I mean, again, it's not to say that the creation of the parks and all of that isn't art and isn't important. There's so many beautiful design things. And yes, there's rides and it's fun to go on a ride. But I feel like that's where Disney differentiates from other theme parks.
Yeah.
Of just being like, oh, I go for the rides. Like you go for the experience.
Definitely.
Because I've been to Disney multiple times, multiple different ones. I first went when I was in year six or year seven. So as a child.
Yes.
I went to Disney in Tokyo.
Yes.
And so I went to Hong Kong in like 5 years later. We did our big trip to Orlando, all of that. But I have more memories and more exciting memories from being there as an adult and actually appreciating everything.
I think that's the key, isn't it?
Like, not that I don't have beautiful memories, it was amazing, but you kind of get, as a kid, you get a bit overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to take in.
You can't regulate your emotions as well. You can't prioritize as well. There's a whole range of things that would be a very wonderful experience, but you're not quite going to appreciate it.
So when I went back to Disney at Tokyo, and again we went there similar times, not together, but like as an adult, it like brought back those childhood memories and like re-cemented them. So in terms of when you're talking about like childhoods of millennials, whatever, like you don't know their stories and why they're there. Like, are they recreating a family trip by themselves with their now husband and partner? Definitely. You know, like,
and I think that goes on to the next little bit in her in her rant, where she says they have no idea the joy and happiness it is to mothers who buys their babies treats and toys.
That's a bold.
They will never experience exhaustion that it is to chase a 3-year-old around and getting stares at, assuming I'm a bad mother. That's a big assumption.
That's a large leap, I think.
Yes, I mean statistically, this generation are having less children and are more likely to be childless.
Yes.
But that's a big assumption to say you're never going to know what it feels like and how dare you and you live your life a luxury. And I think that speaks a lot to the frustration of this poor mum.
I feel like this mum has had a day and she's just like, I am done.
And pay for a babysitter and give her a hug.
And like, because she says, you know, getting the stares and assuming a bad mother. And you know, obviously when you've got young children at Disney, you would like to think – And I'd like to think, you know, when we were there, like we're never like giving people big like, oh, you're a bad mum because your child's running wild. Mm. I'd just be like, oh, look at this kid having the time of his life. This kid's yeah. loving it. Like, you know.
That's right.
And so I think that that is true, but that's not a generalization of everyone.
No, of course, you know, not.
She's had a bad day. She may have encountered some bad people.
Yeah.
Who've also had a bad day.
Yes.
But I feel like, yeah. And like that's a different scenario again.
Oh, whole different thing.
Is that different ball game?
this next bit about this woman, slutty, the slutty.
The slut in shorts.
Slutty
How
shorts.
How dare she be in shorts buying a pretzel?
Oh, I'm assuming it was hot.
I'm assuming it was Orlando in summer.
This is written in September, which would be what the end of their summer coming into fall. Yeah. So I'm assuming it was pretty hot.
Yeah.
But obviously there's some
that's a different issue.
Judgments made about
there's
the
a judgment of ladies in shorts.
A whole nother which thing. Which is a thing. But the fact that it's so interesting when she said she told the kid he couldn't get one and it broke his heart and she wanted to rip it from this woman and say it was her fault, this other woman's fault.
This
for
one woman's fault that the line is too long.
Slutty short
it's
pretzel.
The slut short that took 5 hours to get this one pretzel. So her child couldn't get one.
And she says later on about this whole like she can't say no to her child.
Yeah. And
she
that's
can't
a,
tell him
that's
he
a
can't
different
do
issue.
Something because it's his.
That's a whole different thing. Issue. And she's saying this child's 3.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Anyway.
I know there's a lot of commentary online reacting to this. Was somebody like, okay, so you're whinging on about these people don't appreciate it and they don't know what it's like for the children. Yeah, you're taking a child who probably
won't remember
it.
No, 100% won't.
This experience, who doesn't appreciate or understand the experience, you're spending all this money
buying
seemingly
them.
For them.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because a lot of this is like, oh, it's his vacation. It's for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there's an interesting debate about, well, is that really for that kid or is it actually for you? And now you're just cranky because it was a frustrating
day. Yeah.
And you're blaming everybody else rather than saying, you know what, being a parent's a tough gig.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to say tough things
to your
kids.
A 3-year-old in like, a mood is a tough gig.
Like you can't have that pretzel, mate. And that's not anyone's fault. That's
it would just be the same anywhere else if you go and line up. Like it's not a Disney-specific issue.
Have we missed out? You know, we miss out on stuff in the parks because the lines are too long or, you know, we're just like, we just can't afford
it. I can't do it.
That's.
I mean, yes, that's the next line. She's like, you have no idea what it's like to stand in line for 3 hours with a cranky toddler. And no, but I do have an idea of 3 hours standing in line with a cranky me. And it's not, it's not a fun experience. It's not a thing you want.
Exactly.
Like we've all been there.
Oh, and the thing about like all, I just love the train. This poor woman.
Yeah.
She is really not thinking clearly because at the very, very start, she's like, only people with children should go here.
Yeah.
And then she says, mothers with children should be allowed to skip the lines. Mate, if only people with children are allowed to go to your park, this park.
Yeah.
Then everyone's going to have kids.
So everyone's going to skip the line. So there's still a line. Get your fast pass. Get more sorted. There's always a way.
That does not make sense. And
no.
Look. That's a thing. And look. And then she ends this with, I hate children, childless women with a burning passion.
Just childless
so again,
women.
Just women.
Just not women men, without a child.
Just specifically women.
Mm, so she's gone from childless couples just to hating childless women.
Yes.
And probably the slut in the shorts specifically. I think is this specific poor woman in shorts. Oh. I'm sure they weren't that.
This
short. You know, you just wanted a Mickey pretzel. Look, like,
this
don't we all?
Having a day. But it is interesting because these attitudes are out there.
Oh, 100%.
So she's not reflecting anything new. Mm. It's not like she's the first person who ever called a woman a slut for wearing shorts.
And,
you know?
And for being like, ugh, childless millennials ruining things. Ugh,
they're the worst.
It's just, yes.
And I think too, like Disney is important to people. And I think the fact that this is specifically targeting adults who enjoy Disney.
Which is a very large group.
Yes, a very large
group. That's why we're here.
And I think more and more, I mean, I've been reading quite a few things and watching quite a few little mini documentaries about this growing community of people who do love Disney and know everything about it and really obsess about it. And it is an interesting phenomenon. And I don't think it is specific to Disney. I think there are a lot of fandoms that experience, yeah. you know, have these communities around them.
Yeah.
You know, Harry Potter's another one.
Yes.
But there's a whole bunch of them where
they've got very intense adult fandoms for exactly. something that's not necessarily was intended to be that audience. Yeah. I think.
And I think it is fairly new, and I do think the internet has played a lot in that.
Huge role.
You can connect with people in a whole new way. You can spread information away. Yeah. I mean, memes.
So instead of just sitting there writing in your diary, I love Disney, now everyone's like, oh my gosh, yes, yeah. I feel that too.
I can connect and online. I can have access to all this information. I can access all this stuff.
You can find those people.
Yeah, who can find have gatherings and things. And I think
instincts.
Look, people who were like traditionally people who had a very intense interest in a thing were kind of the off
nerds.
The nerds.
They were nerds.
I'm thinking kind of like your Dungeons and Dragons kind outcasts, of like outcasts.
In a,
nerds.
You know, growing geeks, up school circles, those kinds of things. Know.
Yeah. It was okay to be into sports. And maybe it's okay to be into like a theater or a drama or something
music-ish.
Like that.
Music-ish. Like there was always a click there because you do it
I
in school.
I think there's these like society sanctioned approved activities that you can like.
Okay, you can like this to any age.
As long as you don't get too into it.
Yeah, as long as you're not too obsessed.
And I think we're getting into this place where people are really getting into a fandom and getting all the detail and all the research. I mean, look at Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Where there used to be forums back when there was just books and people would pick it apart and dissect it and share notes
and whilst it was just a book, everyone was kind of like, look at these guys.
Yeah, and then as it's been developed in a TV show and it's got a wider audience – I mean, there's more and more people speculating, which has become a whole another different thing about like authors or writers of the show trying to get ahead of the fans who have guessed, you know, the outcomes of it. Anyway, that's a whole another issue. But I think we're in a new age where we do have these people who are seen more as well. So one, have these communities, easier to access these communities where you really love something, profess your love, but are also more widely seen by society because of the way that information is disseminated now, which I find really interesting.
And I also think the one thing about Disney as well is why it's got a bit of a population. Like the world is in a place. There are a lot of bad things going on.
Yeah,
there's
definitely.
A lot of
and
negative
we're
things.
By
and we're
that.
Yeah, you, after you know thing after thing after thing, like it's always there. So I think having that escape of this beautiful magical story and like. Some of the Disney stories have been stories that are around for ages. Like they're not new hopes and stories and morals necessarily, but Disney presents it in such a beautiful, magical way that it's just so easy to be like, I'm just going to watch this movie and I'm just going to escape and just have a, you know, enjoy my time, enjoy and my life for this hour that this Disney movie is on.
And there's such a variety and scope.
Mm.
I mean, there is a Disney movie for everybody.
For everyone and
whether
everything.
Whether you're into it or not. I mean, I've shared earlier that, you know, my brother and sister and I are quite different from each other.
Yeah.
But there were some Disney movies that we all agreed on and enjoyed. There's certainly ones that we like separately. But it was something that we could find in common. And I think if you love Disney, you know, you might have different loves. I mean, we've found it here before where there's different movies that I was like, oh, I loved this
and I'm
one.
Like,
you're like, and vice versa.
Whereas I'm like Fantasia MVP and you're like, eh.
I'm like, I enjoy it. But I think too, it's such a diverse thing that so many people can be into it because it is something for everybody.
Another thing as well is obviously with the expansion of Disney in terms of its purchases. You've now got Star Wars, Avengers and all of that at the theme park. So that's drawing a very different audience because Star Wars has got such a different base.
Oh, yeah.
So like that's already bringing in that new audience that's not necessarily like just kids.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
People who grew up watching Star Wars
in the
and 70s, stuff like you know and because you've got that there then that's going to bring in a different crowd and I think that's so wonderful because it's bringing people back into it and it's it's bringing people and they can be like yes I'll go do this and oh yes also I love all these Disney things too and I think that is in more days like and again with the Avengers coming in there'll be a even more resurgence of those millennials going rather than for family reasons but I think that's fine
is interesting. I think people have different opinions about those kind of entities coming into the parks. I mean, Walt himself said that the parks would never be finished, that they're always going
to
be
developed. Yes, he always wanted it to be developing and growing.
And changing, which I think is a really positive thing. But, yeah, I do think there's a lot of interesting opinions out there about what is Disney and what should be honored in the parks. And
I think, which is, again, when when you look at, like, Disney World, all the different parks, like, you've got the Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
You can go on a legitimate animal safari. It's amazing. Like, who wouldn't want to do that? Like, I don't think animal safaris are children exclusive.
Mm.
We got up early to get on that animal safari to see them animals. And it was great. And as a family, we were like, this is cool.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And I think that's the whole point, that the Disney World and part of Walt's idea, which again we're circling back to now, is he wanted there to be something for everyone.
Yeah,
there's the Disney, like the studios, where that goes more into like the logistics of filmmaking and all that kind of thing. Like, there's so much there for everyone. Mm.
And I think that brings us to one of our guiding questions, isn't it? About what was Walt's intention for
Disney.
Disneyland? What did he build it for? Who was his intended audience? Mm. You know, what was its purpose?
Yeah.
And I have gone to Walt himself for that. I do have a good quote here. That I think encapsulates what we've been talking about. So the idea of Disneyland is a simple one. It will be a place for people to find happiness and knowledge. It will be a place for parents and children to share pleasant times in one another's company, a place for teachers and pupils to discover greater ways of understanding and education. Here, the older generation can recapture the nostalgia of days gone by, and the younger generation can savour the challenge of the future.
Oh, Walt.
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 He was a dreamer.
I feel like he had such a beautiful way of looking at things. Walt, I would love to have sat down and have a chat with Walt. I mean, it probably never would have happened. But, you know, I think he just had this beautiful idea that, you know, everyone could come here and find a happy place.
Yeah. Well, he talked about here, Disneyland is often called a magic kingdom because it combines fantasy and history, adventure and learning together in every variety of recreation and fun designed to appeal to everyone. And it is that. It's, you know, he wanted somewhere to go take his kids that adults could enjoy and everyone could feel welcomed and could belong. I think that is at its heart. And look, Disney are quite genius with their marketing and how
very clever.
Very, very clever. And I think they have expanded their range. I was watching this video recently how they talked about Disney clothing has just boomed.
Yes.
It's expanding all the time because people wanted not just like t-shirts with like Mickey on it or whatever, but everyday items that had little Disney.
Little hidden Mickeys.
Yeah, Disney characters. You know, like a nice denim jacket that has these little embroidered motifs of, you know, Disney characters on it, or things that could be very easily implemented into everyday, integrated, I should say, into everyday wear that has that little Disney magic,
touch.
Rather than just a
Mickey t-shirt.
Mickey t-shirt.
Which we all love as well. I have multiple.
Oh, look, that's fine.
That's, you know.
But I do find that really interesting that people more and more want to integrate this.
They just want to take it with them kind of thing, I think.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
And I think, again, circling back to that message of what Walt wanted, I think that's what he kind of wanted to achieve, like people to take Disney off into their hearts, like to go to the parks and have that magical experience and kind of take a little bit of that magic home.
And look, I think it's very well established on this podcast how I feel about capitalism and the Disney conglomerate and greed. I think cash grab.
Hashtag cash grab.
I think I've made my opinions on that very clear, and I'm sure that they will be brought up many, many more times in the future. But at the end of the day, the market doesn't exist if there's not a consumer.
Yes.
And if people want to consume that product, if people want to buy their beautiful range
Olaf
of Mickey
popcorn. I'll tell that story in a second.
Or, you know, their Mickey ears and the variety of Mickey ears that are out there. If people want to spend their money on that, if people want to spend their money recreating or recapturing that childhood magic in their lives.
Why not?
Well, why not? I mean, again,
it's
Disney
their choice
has to make money.
Again,
to keep
it's
this
people's
stuff running.
Decisions to spend that money.
But it's their decision. Does that mean that they're not an educated person? No. Does it mean that they're not responsible in their life and have other factors that they have to take into consideration? with their money. No, it doesn't mean that those things are and don't exist. And I think part of this rant and the a lot of that anger is that whole, well, you don't have any other problems and you just get to do whatever you want and how dare you? You don't understand. And that frustration is really clear, I think.
Yeah.
But it's kind of lost in here that these are people. Yeah. A slutty short girl.
It's a real person who maybe has been saving up for 5 years to go to Disney.
We don't know.
And has like had a pretzel budget put aside.
And maybe, maybe she's like me and never got a chance to go as a child.
Yeah.
And always wanted to and saved up and made it, you know, and this is something happen. I want to do on my bucket list. We don't know. Maybe she's someone who has an annual pass and goes all the time.
Maybe.
And that doesn't matter either way. No.
Less intelligent, switched on millennial. It just makes her a human being who likes to have fun. We as humans, just give us some room to have fun.
I know. And it's a lot of, yeah. It's
if
a lot
I
want to
buy what I
want to
buy
people.
At Disney, I will.
Yep.
And that's fine.
Yep.
And will I regret it later in my budget? Maybe. But will it always bring me joy? Yes.
Yes. Well, correct. Look, and I, you know, we all spend money and I again, like I said, we couldn't afford it as a kid. So I often don't like junky stuff as far as like little things that I'm never going to really use. Knickknacks.
See, I'm a big knickknacker.
I don't like the knickknacks.
You know it. This is where we fundamentally differ.
But something
very
that
much.
I could use. So my mum bought me so she actually got to Disneyland before I did, the joke. But she bought me this Tinkerbell mug that it has Tinkerbell and like a gown and with like a little eye mask on her forehead and she's got this cup of coffee and it's like mornings aren't magical. And I am not a morning person.
No, that's very you.
At all. So it's got mornings aren't magical on one side and then it's Tinkerbell and it's quite a large mug. And that was so mum brought it home for me and I was like, oh my gosh, this is my mug. And I took that to my very first full-time job and that was my work mug. And it has traditionally been my work mug for my entire adult working life.
Cute.
And I treasure that, and that's something I use all the time. And I always, every time I use it, I always think about, you know, what a special gift that was that mum just knew me so well, and that was a perfect thing for me. And there's that to me is that's the kind of merchandise I want, where I can actually use it, and I have happiness tied into it, and it's not something that's going to sit on the shelf. It's something that I'm going to use all the time, you know, or something I'm going to wear all the time. Or,
we bought plenty of Disney clothes and we wore them while we were at the parks.
I mean, you bought the Duffy blanket.
Oh, the emergency Duffy blanket. I feel like I have to tell this story.
You do. This is mentioned. We do sing about the Duffy blanket.
We have sung about Duffy blanket before.
I think you'll find that blooper at the end of our Watch With Me Brave.
Yes, that's where it is.
Podcast. So if you listen to the very, very end, you'll hear
Duffy featured. When we were at, I went to Disney Sea and we were there at nighttime and it was very, very cold. And in the day, it wasn't too bad. Like it was a moderate climate. And then the sun went down and we nearly died with cold. Like we were prepared. We had big giant jackets. We had like four layers on. I bought, if you've seen in the Winnie the Pooh episode, I posted a picture of that Tigger hat. Yes. I'm actually wearing that over a beanie. Like, we were so cold and I was like, and we wanted to stay and watch the show that's on the harbour, which is amazing. But of course we need to sit by the water, which was even colder. I was like, I don't think we're going to make it. I was like, I need a blanket or something.
And
like,
see, we were there in May.
Yes, you were just
May,
after. Yeah.
And it was still quite crisp.
Yeah. So it was really, really cold and I was like, we can't make it. And we were like, we're going to sit on the ground. Like, we're going to be freezing. And then we're looking through and I was like, I need a blanket. I need a blanket. And I saw this beautiful rolled up fleece lined Duffy blanket. And I was like, this is it. This is, I need this in my life immediately.
And Duffy itself is hilarious because that's only at
Disney Sea. It was
only
insane.
At Tokyo Parks.
Yeah, because you turn the corner and there's just Duffy everywhere and it's mad.
When we were there, we're like, what is this Duffy? Because I don't know if we'd had the discussion about the Duffy blanket.
No, we hadn't.
And I was like, what is this Duffy?
What is Duffy?
And so we're walking around and in the end I think we Googled it because we're like, we have to know. And
See, we still had no idea. We were like, I don't know, I'm going to get this Duffy blanket.
Well, it was designed to be like a friend of Mickey's.
Yeah, it's like a cute little thing for
Japan. And it just never really took off. Mm. But in Japan, it's where huge. They love like cute, fluffy little things, they're like, oh, Duffy's great. And so they have this whole Duffy thing, Duffy episodes. I had a Duffy show.
Yeah.
We watched it and I'm like.
We went into the Duffy store and we couldn't move. Like everywhere else was like
everyone was empty. And that store
was crazy.
Was jammed. Packed,
anyway, I didn't really even understand crazy. The significance of the Duffy, but I bought the blanket because I was like, I need something.
There was Duffy backpacks and stuff. I wish I bought a Duffy thing.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad I got my Duffy. But it's the emergency Duffy blanket. And afterwards, I realized I'd have to carry this blanket home through a plane flight, through two plane flights. And I was like, oh.
Plane flights.
But
as opposed to other flights.
As opposed to those other, you don't know. But it came in really handy as an airplane blanket.
Yeah.
I used it as a pillow. Like, fine. Duffy has come into her own. Like, a lot.
His own?
No, I think Duffy's I don't know. It's pink, so that's my gender
bias. I'm pretty
sure
Duffy's a dude.
Is it?
And then there's Duffy's girlfriend.
Oh, there's the girlfriend, which character. Is someone else.
Yep.
Anyway, the Duffy blanket was an impulse emergency thing. It did keep us warm. We put like our maps down on the ground to like not sit on the con. Oh, it was so cold. I don't think I've ever been as cold in my life. But yeah, so Duffy did come in handy.
Yeah.
Did have difficulties transporting, but that's
but that's fine.
That's fine.
And look, Disney is a place where you just know you're going to spend money frivolously.
You put it aside.
You just
and
know.
You do wait for it.
And is it bad? No. And look, I would say it's a very high likelihood that this slutty short woman. I'm sorry that that's who you are.
That's
you're
how
identified,
we have to call you,
girl. But
we feel you.
We stand with you. but I'm sure that she will. Probably one day have children
and
will very likely take those children to Disneyland and will enjoy it with them.
Yeah.
And I think that is while it was a very original thing at the time, that the theme parks at the time were just ride-based, they were dirty, they weren't immersive, and Walt's like, I'm not about that. And he had a fight for this park.
Yeah.
It was very, very expensive. He had to work very, very hard, but he had this vision. And when you went, you know, particularly in Japan, and look, Japan is a very, very clean country. Their people are very respectful of the environment, very clean for the most part. But it did have a different feel. And I think that's what, from going from Disney Sea to Disneyland, Disney Tokyo Disneyland did feel very much a little bit more like a theme park than Disney Sea.
Disney Sea was later as well. So
it is the newest.
Is a little bit more.
It's the newest of
modern.
The parks. But I think what he did at the time and the whole point of being like, this is something for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone should be able to come here and have a level of enjoyment. Now, what that could be would be very different. I mean, we didn't stay in any of the Disney hotels or anything. We stayed off site. So I think that would be a whole different experience staying.
Yeah, it's pretty
there
magic.
That immersive kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think you could go, and I would happily go back to any of the parks that we've been to.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
I would happily go back, and I'd probably do different things and find out different things. And by the time I got back, there probably would be a whole heap of different things anyway because
they always put something
new
in.
Reinvention and all the rest of it. And, I mean, we were at Euro Disney at Christmas time.
Yes.
And that whole Disney Christmas, that was like our main. Because we were like, oh, do we go? I don't know.
And then we were like,
a lot of money, but
still
like,
Christmas.
But Disney at Christmas, gotta
Disney
do
Christmas
it.
Christmas is amazing.
So I think there's, and we were at, it was around Easter time when we were there in Japan. And Japanese don't really celebrate Easter. But they were like, Disney Easter eggs, like the eggs that were characters and made into eggs around the place, which was like a little fun.
It was
after Easter, but it was a bit different, a bit fun.
Because when we were there, which was not long before that, it was Frozen Fantasy. So there was because there was a lot of winter, and there was like little hidden trolls everywhere, which was so cute. And I think that's what Disney does so well, is it does a little bit of a new spin all the time.
To make it new. So if you are a season park holder.
Pass park holder.
Yep.
You missed a word there.
I know you're like looking at me like
there's a word.
You're confused about what you just said, which would be amazing. I mean, we're not going to have that here in Australia, unfortunately. But you could go multiple yeah. times. And as a family, you could go multiple times, save money with a pass.
Yeah.
It's so much easier. Pack some food to take with you. Boom.
Boom, off you go. And I think that was another thing. And another thing I was reading as a response is like this response is like, right, whatever, they have children. But like obviously we're here in Australia, we can't just pop to a Disneyland. Like exactly. We've not got that luxury. So, you know, like you were saying, money and like just the logistics of having to leave the country, you might not be able to go as a child.
Yeah.
So does that mean that's it? That's what this woman is saying, is that that's it. If you can't go then, we can't go till you have children.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think not allowed. Old mate Johnny or whatever his name is, his whole thing about, oh, they're just going just yeah. to Disney and not doing anything else. Why would we in Australia fly and spend thousands of dollars
yeah,
to go to Europe and only go to
that's
Disney?
That's it. One day, Disney, that's it.
Like, even if you spent, you know, a few days there, I mean, but why would you spend that amount of money and time? I mean, it's a long flight. But look,
even if you did, and that's what you want to do. Cool. And that's your life's goal.
Yeah, fair point. If you want to do that, do that. But for me, I'd be like, I am not flying.
But yes, it's that.
For 30 hours.
It's a long flight.
To spend four days in Disney and then go home. If I'm going, I mean, when we were planning our recent trip to Europe, and my husband's like, I only want to go for this time. I'm like, but if we're going to go,
nope.
Why not maximize we're gonna go our everywhere. Investment? So, yeah, that whole, and I guess people live in different places in the world. They live in different proximities yeah. to a Disney park. Not everyone lives out on an island away from everything.
Yes, exactly.
So, it's going to be different for everyone.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do.
And people shouldn't be hated on for doing what they want to do.
And I think, look, culture is very different. There's very different things out there. And who's to say that one piece of art is any yeah. less than another piece of art?
Yeah.
I mean, art is subjective.
Exactly. So if you think Disneyland is the peak of art, all that's right. your art.
That's fine. That's good.
Done.
Do it. And yeah, I just have a lot of issue with this whole thing about, well, old Johnny mate, he's like, oh, they're so infantile and, you know,
yeah.
they're stuck in their childhood and they can't appreciate anything else because of Disney. And it's like, well, that's a gross over-exaggeration there, mate. Mm. That's a great straw man you're chucking up there. And this poor woman, look, I get her frustration. I do understand to a point where she can say, I have limitations because of my circumstances.
Yeah.
These people don't have limitations because of their circumstances or perceived yeah. less limitations because of their perceived
yeah.
circumstances. So how can I say to my child, well, they can do whatever they want because they've got money and I, you know, how, you know,
yeah.
that whole thing. I do understand that to a point, but I do think that that is very misdirected.
To take it out on the childless millennials.
It's not their fault.
It's not.
At the end of the day, if you have to tell your kid no, you have to tell your kid no. That's part of being a parent.
Yeah.
And if is that difficult?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would in I Disneyland, be? Is it difficult?
Yeah. Well, there's just shiny stuff.
And everyone
everywhere.
It was like for me, even like there were times where you're like, no, you can't get that. I'm like, but I want it. Like I understand this child yeah. and this mother's frustration.
And like, there were times when we were there, we're like, we just have to sit down. We have to sit down and
like
eat.
We need a moment.
Like I remember when we were lining up for food at Euro Disney and I was like, I feel very unwell. Like I need to get out of this crowded place
yeah.
and sit down. Like
I'm we
like,
just need to be somewhere
and
else.
And I was annoyed because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the food available at these kind of parks. Actually, Disney, Tokyo tended to have, Disney Sea particularly tend to have better food. Mm. But anyway, I'm not a big fan of that like cheap, you know, takeout.
The quick service ones.
And I get yeah. that because it's quick and yeah. easy, whatever. That's a whole other issue. But, you know, I was cranky and I was feeling unwell. And, you know, I was like, oh, these are the best of the bad choices. But I don't want to go to the restaurant and, like, spend heaps of money yeah. that we don't have and spend, like, 3 hours there when we have so much to do today. I mean,
yeah.
It's a fun place to be, but it doesn't mean it's fun every second of the time that you're there. Yeah.
The stressful times.
Especially if you've only got a day there and you have to just.
And you want to make the most of it.
Try and make the most of it because you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
And like, yes, would that be stressful? Queues of 3 hours be stressful? And we'd be like, oh, we can't go on that ride then.
Yeah.
And would that be disappointing? Yes.
Yeah. And as adults, we can process that.
And we're like, right, cool. Okay.
As having kids thrown into that, would that make it more difficult? Yeah.
It would. But at the end of the day,
is it that
allowed
girl
to have their own emotions.
with the pretzel.
Is Did she ruin this child's trip?
No. Will that kid remember it?
No.
No.
Is his trip ruined?
No. No.
Will the mum forget about it in 6 months? Probably.
Well,
I don't know. She's, yeah. I feel like when something goes viral like this. I mean, yes, that is a reminder. But in general, if you haven't written this rant, yes.
Yeah. You move on, you find something else. And, you know, that poor, that woman probably posted that rant in the spur of the moment.
Didn't really think about it.
Didn't really think about it. And now it's gone viral, would have different thoughts about it.
Yes, now, possibly.
And we don't know her. We don't, I don't know.
Again, yeah, some we don't those, know her
Some
story.
People just have rants like that all the time. Maybe this is a one-off for her.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not. We don't know. But I think it's not really about her specifically. It's about this whole thing, which we've been discussing anyway. So, look, I think we've got there. Yeah.
I think we've gone through it. I think at the end of the day, like I said, the intent of Disney and the parks was for something for everyone.
Yes.
And for everyone to have
everyone
joy.
To enjoy.
And that's it.
Recapture that childhood wonder.
Walt himself has said that's what he wants.
Oh,
done.
That's what he wants.
Are childless millennials going to be banned from Disneyland? Never. But
no, because they make money.
It's not going to happen.
And look, at the end of the day, yes, it is a park for everyone. But if you have a group of people who contribute a significant amount of money to the parks so that they can be redeveloped and made even more wonderful for the people who like to enjoy it but perhaps cannot fund it as well, I mean, that's just benefiting everyone.
Yeah.
Really. Disney's not going anywhere.
Oh, no, it's only getting bigger.
So this is something we have to accept.
Disney is part of our lives, adult and child.
And I think that's okay. The main takeaway, I think, for this for me is that you don't know anyone else's circumstances. You don't know their life. You don't know their choices. And to paint a particular group of people with the same brush and to say all millennials are bad or all childless millennials are bad or
they ruin everything.
All baby boomers are horrible people and hate millennials. I mean, that's not true.
Yeah, exactly.
There's certainly some people with platforms and there's certainly some louder people than others. But you can't make those kind of generalizations and you don't know where people are coming from. And it's and we need to keep – oh, I think it's important to keep these conversations with that in mind.
Yes.
And make it less about specific people and more about, you know, that overall theme. And I think here is, look, Disney – was a big part of our childhoods, many people's childhoods, but particularly, I think particularly millennials was because
that
of
generation.
The VHS.
Yes.
I think that
and
was
then
a
the
big
DVD,
thing that you could
like,
take it home and you could watch it and watch it and
again
watch it
and again
watch
and
it
again.
Rather than going to the cinema.
Yeah,
I think that's made a big
generation.
Influence. And I think the fact that you could take this, you could re-watch it as many times as you want. You have memories with your family watching it. It is a very big part of a lot of people's childhoods.
Yeah. And a lot of people's lives.
Exactly. And I think that's – this is a way that people are recapturing that magic for themselves. Yeah. I mean, and look, looking at the Star Wars now and how big that was, I mean, that was a big part of kids from the 70s.
Yeah.
And now it's going gangbusters and they can relive all of that again. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So these things are just going to keep happening. Is it a bad thing to relive your childhood and capture that magic?
No.
No. As long as it's not taking you away from everything else that
you
need
as long
to
as
do.
It's not the only thing in your life.
But you don't have to be miserable all the time.
Yeah.
Why do we have to
just
be miserable
have happiness.
All the time? Why do we have to be responsible
just go.
All the time?
Have happiness. Adulting. Ride the Dumbo ride.
Look, adulting is hard enough.
Have some popcorn.
We need something to break it up.
Yeah.
Why not Disney?
I think that says it all.
Wow. What do you think, dear
Let
listeners?
Us know.
If you stuck with us
for
to this,
this
point.
To this point.
What do you think?
Do you think? Are you with her? Are you with us?
Are you a millennial?
Are you
sick of being bashed up?
Are you the person in the slut shorts? Do you want to tell us your story? If you're listening, please. I'd love to know.
What are your reactions to this original rant or to Johnny Alessinsky, whatever
love,
his
love,
mates,
love.
Response to it?
Yeah.
Is there anything that we haven't... captured in the arguments today that you think is important needs to be said, or do you think we're wrong?
Yeah,
I don't know. Tell us.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah, it only should be children.
I'd be remiss to not mention the incredible hashtag of childless millennial.
Oh,
hashtag childless millennial.
it's quality.
Get on the
Have
Insta.
A look. Get on Insta. Get on there.
Follow it.
There we'll put some stuff up on
hilarious responses
on Facebook and Insta.
Again, I guess it's died down a little bit now. It was a few months ago, but there's some incredible.
We'll bring it back. We'll bring it back.
Some very, very funny, and but also some very insightful commentary on the situation, yeah. which I was laughing very hard about.
So
it's
let
great.
Us know.
Worth a read. Worth a
Go
read.
Go read it. We'll post a bunch of stuff as we always do. And
yeah. So look, get on it. Keep enjoying yeah. Disney.
Live
don't
your
let
dreams.
The haters get you down.
Go out. Buy that useless crap at Disney. Live your best life.
And look, like, subscribe, keep following us as a rebellion.
Yeah, against
the rebellious
the haters.
These days.
Yep.
Listening to this podcast. All right. Okay, this is getting too. This
All
is
right,
getting too
that's
out
it.
There.
We're done.
On out. That note, I think it's time to end.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, the Doobie Whacker wasn't at the start. It's there now.
Okay.
It's all fine. Right.
Now the Doobie Whacker's good.
Doobie Whacker is good.
Doobie Whacker's ready. It's our new slogan. Doobie Whacker's at the ready.
Patent pending. All right. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.